Hello, this is LinuxInstall.net, episode number 118, recorded on Tuesday, July 15th, 2014. What are you running at home? In this week's episode, Brian's going to talk to us a little bit about Ansible. Joe's going to tell us about how he's working way too much to have any fun with Linux. And then Walt's going to explain to us how he managed to replace a Dell 2650 with, wait for it, a Pogo plug. That's right, folks, a Pogo plug. It was pretty interesting. And then after that, we're going to talk about what services we're running at home. Are we running DNS, DHCP, file servers, all that good stuff. That and much more are all found on this week's episode. But before we get started, don't forget, you can follow us and give us your feedback at Linux Install on Twitter and in our Google Plus community, plus Linux Install Net. Without any further ado, let's get going with the show. And we're live. This is LinuxInstall.net, episode number 118. 118 of them. That's how many we've done.
118.
I'm your host, Brian Wagner. That voice you just heard was Mr. Joe Luzzi.
Good evening, gentlemen.
And the other guy that's on the podcast tonight is Mr. Walt Giebeck.
Hello.
A now rather consistent contributor, although none of the three of us have been very consistent lately. But, you know.
Yeah, we do what we can.
Yeah, there's at least two of us. That's all that matters.
There is a thing called real life that does get in the way sometimes.
Yes, yes. Stupid. Our Wi-Fi sucks. So, Joe, why don't you start us off? What have you been up to with Linux this week?
Working with it.
Working with it? Have you guys done anything cool with it?
Even on the game podcast that I just did, the gaming that I did for the week was basically relegated to the one night of board gaming that I did was mostly what I talked about in the podcast. This past week was kind of just crazy. I don't know where it went. I was out of town over the weekend, which I think screwed up part of the week there. Well, that screwed up most of the week because then I was having to prepare and get stuff done during the week that I normally do on the weekend. So it was just crazy. And then I was just exhausted. I didn't even record my podcast last night. But what we're doing with it at work, just normal day-to-day admin stuff, I would say. Nothing super special, nothing super fancy. Just the normal stuff right now. Building RPMs, making things easier, and automating stuff has been pretty much the life of my life lately for the past couple months.
How current are you guys trying to stay with Puppet? Are you guys trying to be like they just released, I think, 3.1? Are you guys trying to stay on that edge, or are you guys still doing what I think is the smart thing and holding back a release or so?
I think we moved to 3. I don't think we're on 3.1 yet, but we are on 3. I don't think we're running latest and greatest. I think we're maybe one behind.
That's not bad. That's generally
we're staying pretty close with Puppet, I think. That's one of our bigger tools. I mean, we definitely use the hell out of that. I will say. Out of all the tools that we've gotten recently, that is probably one of my favorite. I mean, with the automation and stuff that it does and everything that we can do with it, it's one of the best tools that I've seen come into our shop.
Cool. That's good, because I talked highly of it on the other podcast.
I definitely like it.
Cool. So anything else?
That's about it. I haven't had much time to play with too much Linux stuff at home. I hate to say, pretty much doing it at work all day long has been enough lately. It's been an adventure at work.
How about you, Walt?
I might have mentioned before about the server upgrade I was trying to acquire at work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I actually ended up replacing, it was a Dell 2650, 2560, one of those two. I think it had a dual CPU Xeon, 3 gig of RAM, RAID 5 SCSI drives. With a Pogo plug. Works great.
I'm sorry, did you just say you replaced the Dell 26 or 25, 2650 or 2560, which is a 2U box, right?
Yes.
With a Pogo plug.
Pogo plug, yep.
Wow.
Yeah, because I got to thinking when I was running on it, and I mean, that thing just sits there in the back, creates heat, makes all kinds of noise. The replacement that I was going to get was equivalent size. I think it was 1 RU instead of 2, but it still would have been a big monster. And I was going through some of my home gadgets that I haven't really done a whole lot of stuff with, and I'm like, got a Pogo plug I'm not doing anything with. Wonder if it'll run all my stuff. And sure enough, it does. So set up Arch Linux, and I put Lighty and some PHP and some Java, and I needed sync some file shares to do it. What's that?
You're running Java on a Pogo plug?
Just a plugin, web plugin, something. Can't remember what the full extension is, but it's one of the Lighty plugins, so it's not like a full implementation. But
how much memory is in that thing?
128 meg. More than enough.
That's enough to start Java, is all I'm trying to say.
Right. Yeah. To be honest, I don't think I actually run anything anymore that needs it. At one point, one of my web interfaces did something where it had to be installed because it was actually installed on the old server. But as I was rebuilding everything, I couldn't figure out what needed it anymore. So it must have been something we no longer run. But so it's running my video wall. It's running my Star Trek clock. It's running something else that I forget what it is now. I do all my backups, secure FTP backups from one of our inventory database servers. I just do a daily sync of the database because that software it still runs on DOS. It's like this old software, but they got a license for it, so they still run it. So I was like, well, I'll run some backups for you. So I run the backups on it, but yeah, did everything I needed to do. Popped the 16 gig flash drive in and off you went.
Now, does that Pogo plug have two flash drives? So like, could you rotate your flash drives?
Yeah, no, that's not quite that fancy. Yeah, no, actually I do pull then from that box to my local Linux machine, another copy of that same backup file. The plug is automated, and then I manually do a weekly to my local machine. So,
cool.
But yeah, so I was pretty happy. So there's just this little thing velcroed on the side of this big old rack.
Well, the other thing is that's like what, 25 watts?
If that, yeah.
And that 2560 was probably pulling close to 500, 600 watts?
I'd guess. Probably. Yeah, because I had five drives in it, and yeah, it was all old and big, dual powered. Monster.
Wow.
So not that it was anything super great, but something fun to play with.
Yeah. So
one Walt gadget down, 14 some to go.
Okay. Anything else?
No, that's it on my side. How about you?
That's not a lot. That was like actually pretty phenomenally kind of exciting that you did that. I have been continuing to play with my Raspberry Pi, and then for some reason I got the bright idea that I was going to set up Ansible, because I've played with Puppet pretty extensively. I've played with SaltStack pretty extensively. I'm still reading the books on Chef, and I want to truly understand Chef before I try to do Chef. And Ansible is based on Python, which I'm used to writing programs in, and so I thought that Ansible would be a cool thing that I haven't set up yet before. I've set Chef up before and played with it, but I haven't set Ansible up yet, so I set up Ansible, or I'm starting to set up Ansible, and I keep redoing my design for Ansible because I keep reading the documentation and then going, that would actually probably work better. So I'm doing all that stuff. So my little Raspberry Pi experiment to put DHCP and DNS on there has now become a much bigger deal because now it's got Ansible that's going to be hooked into it, and I'm going to use Ansible to do all the updates.
So what about the new Raspberry Pi that just came out?
Yeah, was
there a new one? There's a new version that came out.
That's one of the things I wanted to add to the list. So talk about. I was underwhelmed. The only difference is that there's two more USB ports. There's no difference in RAM. There's no difference in CPU.
They increased the GPIO.
Yeah, they increased the GPIO. But increasing the GPIO and adding two more USB ports didn't strike me. And it's still the same price, so it's a good deal. But still, I would like to see them up the RAM.
Yeah, out of all the different things, I agree. That's the only, I don't know what the price difference would have been, but yeah, that would have been nice to get a gig on it.
Because, I mean, I don't know about you, Walt, but you can plug a hub into it if you need more USB ports. You don't need more on the machine.
Well, but then you got to have it powered, and then you got to have more power supplies and more cables. And especially, I mean, you got to remember this is going to be in a lab environment where you got, okay, now you need a power strip and multiple devices for the kids to play with, where now everything's more or less on board. and with the multitude of side projects using the GPIO interface, I think that's pretty cool that they increased that.
Yeah, the GPIO I totally got that. That made sense to me.
I was gonna say, if you throw a hub on that thing, wouldn't you basically start flooding the bus, which is the reason why they did that increase?
No, it's the battery thing.
Oh,
it doesn't. I don't know. I don't think they changed chipsets, because the chipset, I think before, people had commented that it could have had four ports. They just didn't have space on the board to put four ports.
Right, because they eliminated the analog video, so that's the room where the other port goes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was another odd choice. I didn't understand why they were keeping, was the analog video.
Third world countries. It's easy to plug it into a TV or something.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Or I shouldn't say third world, but, you know, it just in general, it's easy to find. There's a TV.
Just because you're saying third world doesn't mean there aren't third world places in the U.S. that still
stay. True enough.
Only a mere couple of hours away from us, actually.
Yep.
Appalachia. Yeah, so that was what I was doing with Linux, and I did want to talk about the new Raspberry Pi.
Did you see the new release that they talked about? Mm-mm. I think it just came out today. No new hardware update till 2017.
On the Raspberry Pi?
Yep.
Wow. Why would they wait until that?
Officially announced. They basically said, and I am going to paraphrase, but they don't want to come out with new hardware so quick that people don't want to develop or invest in it, because, you know, like a computer or whatever, you know, if I create something cool, by the time I get my development cycle out, if you already upgraded that hardware, now my stuff's junk. So they were more thinking along the line of like the game console systems, where they come out with a new console every 5 years. So you got plenty of time to take advantage of what's already in it.
But the problem is
being latest and greatest. And then like they argued, you know, the device is not meant to be cutting edge. It's meant to be cheap throwaway. And, you know, it does that pretty good.
Okay, it does that pretty good. But still, even the B only comes with 512 megs of RAM. That's not a lot of RAM on today's computers, and people have written fat stuff that people still would like to play with. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can't really... Well, we were talking about Java. I mean, if I wanted to learn how to do stuff on Java, I could accept the fact that it's slow because it's not a fast CPU. I couldn't even start Java, like any decent-sized Java web app, because they're going to probably need almost a gig of memory.
Right. Like, and that's the first thing I said, is that's the only thing I agree, is that more RAM would have been a good idea at that point.
So, I mean, I'm okay if they've given it a decent amount of RAM. I'm okay with them saying, okay, it'll be another 2 years, I guess. I mean, I would like to see them, well, I guess it's 3 years, actually, not anything about it. I would like to see them do it a little more often, but whatever. It's not designed for me, it's for kids.
Right. Right. I mean, that's the thing, is that, I mean, if you want to do anything that you said for double the price, you can buy that more powerful machine today. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm looking at other machines. You know, you and I have been talking about this on and off for quite a while. I've been looking at other machines. You sent me was it FitPC?
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at a couple of their machines. And some of their stuff is really nice. Like, I'm thinking about getting my son one to replace the old AMD system that he's running on right now. Only because I can't get any more. I mean, I could get more RAM for it, but, doesn't make a lot of sense to just put more RAM into that box. It's really, it's almost CPU bound once he starts playing anything serious on it. Anything beyond simple games. And I was looking at one of those and I was like, well, you know, it's $350, but that's not the reason. The price is not the reason why I want it. The reason why I want those Fit PCs is the low power.
Right.
So those things are like 25, 50 watts, and that would cut the amount of heat in my computer room, which
right.
is not really a problem, but, you know, the lower I can make that and the less I have to pay on my electric bill every month, better off mm-hmm. for me.
Yep.
But I don't have anything that's really that big a machine running in there right now.
Well, that's why I didn't upgrade any of my servers, because they're all low power, and for what I do, they work fine. You know, yeah, would it be nice to be able to do something twice as fast? Sure, but, you know, do I want to pay $20 or $30 a month more in electric to be able to make that happen? Yeah, not really.
Right, no. And I don't even know if any of the machines, none of my machines are anything I could consider slow, except for Will's machine. The other machines are Core i7s, so they're not they're not slow, and I rarely tax them still. Mm-hmm. One's running VMware, and I still, you know, I have to hit all 28 machines. Practically, you have to start all 28 machines at once just to get maximum CPU load on it, just because none of the machines on it are that taxing, and there's just that initial boot up time. And then once they're all booted, there's nothing going on. I'm out of RAM, but there's nothing else going on.
Right, right.
So, but I don't need to run all of them at once either, so I usually shut them down. I'm only running on about 4 or 5. But that brings us to our next topic, what I wanted to ask you guys about today. We've talked off and on about this and kind of mentioned the services. We've talked about the fact that I think we're all running firewalls, custom firewalls, not just a router we bought at Walmart.
Router we bought, not at Walmart.
We may have bought the router at Walmart, but we're not using the software that came with it. How about that?
Well, that is true.
Or you could buy these in Walmart. So I think we're all running firewalls. I personally run my own DNS server that does forwarding for all the internet domains. You know, it does DNS caching for everything out on the web. What else do? I run DHCP because I have a crap ton of wireless devices. I'm really not sure where all these wireless devices came from, but everything I seem to turn on anymore wants a wireless connection. And I just say yes. So
I use MAC filtering on my wireless, and I think my list is full currently. And I need to delete some stuff because I know some of the old stuff is probably some old phones I no longer use or I no longer even have.
Right. And that was part of what, when I went through and was cleaning up stuff on my DNS and DHCP server, there's stuff that didn't even make the last move when I moved to this house. So that's 8 years ago, I think. So that's how bad I am about cleaning that stuff back out. So I was doing a lot of cleanup on stuff. Nope, that doesn't exist anymore. Nope, I haven't had that phone for 4 years now. I think I can delete that. So I'm running DNS, DHCP. I'm running a file server, but I also have a Drobo, which I wouldn't consider me running. I just plug it in and it runs. But I have other file servers. I'm actually running one of my machines as a crash plan backup server. So I have a local backup. That's about it. I stopped running web servers at home, other than stuff I'm playing with, you know, like that has a web interface. So how about you, Joe?
I use a mixture of DHCP and static, mainly because of some of the consoles prefer to be static, especially through the firewall. You need to do port forwarding just mm-hmm. to be able to get the best open connection through those. Plus some online games like static as well when you got to do port forwarding. So I've run static on a lot of my PCs for a while. Phones and everything else are DHCP. So through DHCP, I push out OpenDNS for my DNS.
Yeah, I stopped using them. I was using them for a while. I got tired of
every time I hit
a bad address, them showing me their stupid ad page.
You kind of get that with almost everybody, though. I mean, I used Google on my one computer for a while, and it was just as good, I think. I don't know if there's one that's better than the other.
Yeah, I mean, you can do the DNS benchmarking, but they all test. It's a couple of milliseconds between them.
Right.
Yeah. And I think it depends on the day, because I'm sure if you went back and tested them in a week, they'd probably be different. And test them again in another week, they'd probably be different again.
I used to have a NAS. I got rid of that and went to CrashPlan. I don't do a local backup of CrashPlan anymore. I have 3 terabyte USB drive that I'll back some stuff up to every now and then on my computer. Everything else goes up to CrashPlan. And what I've had to pull down from CrashPlan when I've needed it was there. So that's about it. I don't do any local web servers like you. That's about it.
Any Minecraft servers or any gaming servers running at all?
You
have in the past, but
I have in the past. This fall, if they actually do release the source code for Asheron's Call, like they say, I will put up an AC server because they're supposedly going to let you run your own server. They say it's not going to be easy to set up. They say it's going to be extremely hard, especially all the database stuff and everything. So I'm kind of looking forward to that, and I'm kind of looking forward to the challenge of actually getting that up and running and seeing what you can do with it.
You know, and I'll be really interested to see what your impression is whether it's really because this is what we do all day, every day. So what might be hard for most users probably
won't
be as hard for us. So I'd be really curious just to see if you get the instructions and it's not like, oh, what the hell are they talking about?
Well, keep in mind that you know, Asheron's Call was released in 99. Mm-hmm. So some of the software that you're probably dealing with is ancient, is my guess. I mean, and I'm not even, I'd be curious to see how often they updated it or like what versions you would need to run of stuff. It'll be interesting to see what they all give you and how this stuff runs.
The binaries, right? You're going to have to recompile everything.
I don't know. I'm not 100% sure, and I have no idea what they're going to give us. All I know is that they've said that we'll be able to download it and actually build our own server and run our own world.
If they give you the actual source code, it won't be that bad because you'll just recompile the source code.
Right.
Hmm. I mean, it might take some time, although probably not for you. You have a pretty heavy-duty system, so.
And that's the other thing. I was listening to a couple of different podcasts, and they were talking about some of the newer processors that was out and how much more powerful they are and how faster they are. And the one thing I really haven't paid much attention to lately is, because you have a processor that's just a generation behind mine. I mean, not even a generation. It's like a half a year to a year behind mine. You got the 920. I got the 930. Mm-hmm. What are the speed differences between like our processors as opposed to some of these newer processors that are out there? How much faster are the newer ones?
I don't know. My new laptop has, I don't remember which one it is.
Yeah, because Kim's laptop has a newer i7 as well in it, and it's pretty snappy for a gaming laptop. But I'm just interested. I really haven't paid much attention to any of the benchmarks as opposed to like our 930, as opposed to like the latest one of the later newer Intel CPUs, and what type of benefit you would get. Because if you think, I mean, our computers are like 3 years old. I mean, years ago, you have a 3 year old computer. It's you're ready to upgrade. I mean, we've talked at work before where I still don't feel like I'm CPU bound by anything. I want a new graphics card, but I've never felt really CPU bound. Unless if you get into the video editing, that's a whole other story.
But I don't even know if that's, I don't know. Yeah, so on this laptop, I'm running a Core i7 3632QM at 2.2 gig maximum, I think. I think that's what that's trying to say. So I got the full 8 processor look.
Right. I didn't mean to sidetrack the conversation. It was just something thinking about when I was listening to a podcast earlier today.
Yeah, no, I was really curious all of a sudden. I was like, hey, look at that. Yeah. I haven't felt CPU bound probably since I got the Core i7.
Exactly.
Because I agree with you 100%. You get into all those cores, and I don't ever see CPU load really high. The only way I know my CPU is getting taxed ever, it's never that I feel it. It's that my fan kicks up, and all of a sudden I'm sitting next to a jet engine because this thing is trying to cool itself. And then usually if I restart Chrome, everything's fine.
That's amazing, isn't it?
It's like, I don't know what the hell it's doing, but all of a sudden I restart it. Wow, look at that. My CPU drops to nothing, and yeah.
I close Chrome, and half of my 12 gig is now given back to me, RAM-wise.
Well, we were talking about this. What, were you on last week?
Yeah, how the Chromebook somehow can do all that with 2 gig just fine.
Yeah. They don't keep as many tabs as I keep opened up.
No, I'm using. I actually sat down the other night while I was upstairs with the wife with this on my lap instead of my laptop, and sat there and I'm actually really liking this a lot more than I thought I would. I really didn't think I was going to like the Chromebook that much.
It's crazy. It takes
some getting used to, but once you start getting used to it and figure out how to do a few things that you would like to do, I haven't even put Linux on it yet. Because I just haven't, I haven't had time, but because I'm doing other things. But I don't even feel that bad that I haven't put Linux on it. I love the battery life on this thing. It's just awesome. Like to be able to sit upstairs for several hours. Like I have to figure out why this laptop, for some reason, drains the battery. My normal laptop, the laptop I'm talking to you on right now, why this laptop drains the battery so quickly. Because I only get about 2 hours of battery life out of this laptop. It doesn't seem right. Part of it, I think, is because I'm, again, not running on the SSD. I'm running on the actual hard drive. And I have a feeling that's part of the problem because it never cycles the hard drive down. But this thing will go. I have full brightness, all kinds of tabs open, everything running. I can go 4 or 5 hours. Easy. Like I plug it in because I figure it's going to be dead soon. It's not. Yep. The last time I was out of town, my daughter took it. She thought it was so cool because she just logged in with her Gmail account. All her tabs and everything that she's used to using are all there, all her bookmarks. And she just said, I told her I wanted her to push it. I said, try to run on it for like a couple of days straight without touching any other computers. Just use this. Do your Facebook, your YouTube. It should do everything. She had nothing else that she needed. And she loved it because it was small, it's light. And she was really happy with it. And I was like, okay. And so I don't know what I would run anymore that would tax the CPU. To get back to taxing the CPU, on my machine, I don't tax the CPU. Like I said, I got a VMware ESX server in there. If I kick up a full lab for some of the Microsoft stuff that I have to test for work, I can't drive the CPU in that box to where I notice it. I can do it on my laptops. That's usually because of the disk. It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I can't read from the, because I'm using a USB 3 drive for my VMs on that laptop. So I can't pull enough data across it.
The only thing I've ever seen tax my Core i7 is the video rendering.
Right.
Which is just a whole, that's a whole different ball game. But that's the only thing where it's like my CPU is like, wham!
I got one chip that's newer than you guys. I'm on a 2600K. And that's the only thing that I've ever maxed out on is if I do transcoding in real time, it'll just everything lights up, the fan kicks on, you know, you think it's gonna melt down in so many minutes. But yeah, other than that, I've never ran into anything either. I use CPUBenchmark.net to check processor speeds because they do a pretty good overall, you know. So if I'm looking to see is this upgrade worth doing or whatnot, and just the comparison of like your guys is 920. Their average CPU mark's about 5200, and with the 2600 that I got, it's about 8500. So there's a pretty big jump. But to what you were saying is where you're not even taxing your chip yet. I mean, I'm not even close to doing anything on mine. I agree that unless you're doing high-end, you know, real-time video editing, that's the only thing I could think of right now that would actually drain those. Or, you know, a heavily used multi-user VM environment or something like that.
Which one do you have, Walt? The 2600K?
2600K, yeah.
The 3.4?
Correct.
Because that's the same one I have in that. So my last computer I built, I have two Core i7s in my closet. One of them I was using as a desktop, but I've switched that to using OpenStack. And that's the 3600, or that's a 2600K.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I did not notice much difference switching around playing with the different Core i7s.
Yep.
Now, I'm not a gamer either. Maybe you guys would have noticed it more because of the video rendering you're trying to do, but...
No, honestly, games haven't even really pushed my PC that much. That's more video card. That's why I want to get a new video card. Yeah. I mean, games really haven't even taxed my CPU much beyond, you know, 40, 50% usage, if that even, on a high-end game. Video rendering now will push me up around 75% or higher when I'm doing...
What are you video rendering? You're talking about the Twitch stuff?
The Twitch stuff that I basically record locally and then render, and I basically put up to YouTube. When I do that stuff, that kills your CPU. And I was just wondering how much time I would save with a newer CPU with the video rendering stuff. Because I was looking at that site that Walt just mentioned, you know, and like a newer processor, like a 4930, is around 13,000.
Mm-hmm.
My 930 is only around 5,000, 6,000.
Yep. But I agree. You're really only going to see that benefit if you're doing something that's going to tax it.
Right.
Your day-to-days, you're not really going to notice.
Yeah.
And that 900 series chipset was a professional series chip at the time, too. So, I mean, it actually performed super well.
Oh, I agree 100%.
All right.
Walt hasn't talked about what he's done, what he's used yet. So let's probably go back to him since I totally derailed the conversation. I apologize.
So what services are you running, Walt?
Well, what do I run here? I used to do my own DNS a while ago, but I gave up on that. I just use Google DNS now. Like Joe, I do static IPs for all cabled devices and DHCP for all wireless.
Okay, before you go too much further, on the DNS thing,
yes.
So how are you connecting? I know you you are a big XMBC.
DDWRT.
Right, but you're doing DNS in it, right?
Yes.
So that you don't have to, to use IP addresses to get all of those configured to the back ends, right?
Correct. Okay. Yeah, it runs, I forget what it's called now. And I click here, and then I click on this button.
DNS, it's probably DNS mask.
Correct. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. In fact, I mean, with that DDWRT software, I mean, it does pretty much everything that you know, you might use an external box for and more. I used to run a VPN server. It does it. I don't use it anymore. It's got file server capabilities. I mean, it does like all kinds of stuff, but we've talked before. I run the NAS for free file server. So that's my Apple Time Machine server, my Windows shares for media, my rsync backup server for, you know, Linux machines. Everything pretty much goes to that. I do run web server. I have an Apache install for what's that thing that I set up? Moodle for the wife. And then I have a Debian install that runs Lighty. That is a web server for my Chumby that basically serves up pictures for a rotating photo frame, both VMs. And then I have another VM that I basically use as a SSH portal to then access everything else on my network. So you don't actually log into anything directly. You go to that first, and then from that you can jump to wherever.
And you said you dropped your, you aren't doing a VPN anymore?
No, no. Basically, because my work blocked it, and that was the only place I needed to use it. So I just secure tunnel everything now, and it works fine.
Yeah. I see.
What else is running around here that I may or may not? Oh, I ran. I have a. It's just slipped my mind too, but a media server that my 360 Xbox 360 can pick up. I can't remember what it's called, but,
Flex. And,
what's that?
Flex.
No. It's like, it's just a command line. So it's really just a Windows share, but it adds the media headers so that the 360 will see it as a Windows media share folder instead of just like a Windows share so that it'll be able to stream everything. And I just can't remember what the name of it is, at the top of my head, but, it's just a little Linux executable you run. So it wasn't any, it's not like a big program or nothing. I think that's it. Yeah, I used to run my own web server for the outside world, and then now I pay for hosted because that got to be too big of a pain. Yeah, I used to do the DHCP and or the DNS rather, don't need that anymore.
Well, I mean, when I say I'm running DNS, I'm just running full bind DNS to do what you guys are doing with DNS mask, basically. And I'm running full DHCP mostly because I want to keep my, I don't want to lose those skills. So if I don't do it every once in a while, I tend to forget how to do it. And no other reason. Cause I really DNS MASQ, which is what's backing most routers, DNS and DHCP setups, is completely capable of doing everything I'm doing. It's not a problem. Its only issue is it wouldn't scale to enterprise class. It doesn't do things like zone transfers or anything else like that. And you can't run multiples of the DHCP part of it and have failover capability, which I can with the regular DHCP server. But I also forgot, I'm also running a GitLab server so I can store all my source code, which is just a tiny VM.
That you share. That's the name of that.
UShare is the
software. The streaming software that runs. Cool. I just logged in real quick to see what it was.
I may have to try that. Are you running that on a separate box from where you're? Because I thought you were hosting on your FreeNAS. Aren't you hosting your video files on FreeNAS?
Yes, and then I map that to another machine that has UShare running so the 360 can look at the stuff. Although I think there's something on NAS for free that would do it directly too, but I've had that set up for so long it's just not worth messing with. And to be honest, I only use it on the very rare occasion that one of my other hacked Apple TVs or Windows or Western Digital Media Server or Chromecast or something else is somehow already being used and I have to resort to the 360 to watch recorded shows on.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking about that. Yeah. So that's cool. Are there any other services you wish you didn't have to run that you're running?
No, not really.
I wish I had time to get my VPN to actually work, but I never have time for that.
We had that working at one time. We had our networks connected, you and I.
We did, and actually it was when we were doing the monitoring testing for Xenos, and I was actually monitoring your whole network. Which would probably work a whole lot better now that we both have much faster connections.
Yes, definitely. But I mean, we had the VPN working before, and now it It wasn't that hard to set up. It took us an afternoon to kind of figure it out and play around with it and get it going.
Yeah, my problem is I'm trying to set up so many different things to connect, right? I've got Windows boxes now that I wasn't trying to set up before. We were doing it VPN to VPN,
router to router.
So it was a little easier. It's not hard. It's just I have something misconfigured on the firewall side. And I keep debating whether I'm going to replace the firewall with a DDWRT router, which I'm seriously thinking I'm going to, just because I don't want to run that VM. I want to rebuild that VM server.
You got the Dark Knight, man. Do it. Do it.
No, I'm not. I'm going back to the stock firmware on the Dark Knight because it's too flaky on this software.
Run DDWRT on it.
Well, I might try DDWRT on it. Go back to that. But I don't want to make that my. I need it to sit where it's sitting. It has to sit on that end of the house, and the cable connection's on this end of the house. So it has to sit on that end of the house so I get connectivity to my bedroom and the TV that's right there, and all the gaming stuff needs the good connections. And somehow my daughter's got a Roku in her bedroom that still gets a decent connection. So I have to leave that there. I don't want to move it across the house, and I don't want to run a wire to it just to make it the firewall. I have other DDWRT capable devices sitting here in my house that are collecting dust.
That is a very underutilized machine if all it is a wireless access point. I'm just saying.
Sure. Yes, it is. I have a lot of devices connected to that thing after 5 p.m. There's 3-4 phones, a couple of touchpads, various numbers of laptops all connecting to it. It gets a workout. It's not CPU bound by any stretch of the imagination. It's a very nice machine. I like it. I will buy another one when this one gets burned up because of stupid power issues here in my house. Because I live in the country and we get power surges.
Yep.
And I forgot to buy a UPS for it, which is what I should have done. That, and then I wouldn't lose my wireless every time my power goes out.
That too.
So, all right. Zane, unless anybody's got anything else.
Nope, I'm good.
I think that does it for this week. Please follow us on the Twitters at Linux Install. Go check us out on the Google Plus community at plus.google.com/plus/linux-install.net. And then you can check out what Joe's doing over at What I'm Playing Now and what Walt's doing over at geovac.com. And then my other stuff is over at devopsmastery.com. Did I get everybody right this time?
Sounds good.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Joe, what should everybody go do?
Go install some Linux. Have a good week, everybody.
Have a good week.
See ya.
This has been a production of LinuxInstall.net. All original content produced in this podcast is released under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License. Please feel free to redistribute it to your friends.